Well, we want to welcome you back to the Word for Life radio ministry at Brookside Baptist Church. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, counseling pastor at Brookside. And last time we started the topic of the responsibilities of a dad. Yes, it is difficult as a father to go to work all day and then come home and have to take care of the bills and other responsibilities, but yet God says that we have a responsibility to do more than provide and protect. We have a responsibility, and we have an opportunity to invest our lives in the lives of our children. We were talking last time about the privilege of cultivating a sense of family identity and making sure that every child feels a special part. Then we talk secondly about demonstrating a growing love for our wives and what security that gives to our children. But then we ended with the idea of understanding, respecting our child's private world. Because the Bible says that a wounded spirit, who can bear? That's Proverbs 18:14. And there are times that our children's spirits are wounded. And we need to become a part of their private world, but we need to wait until they invite us in. And boy, when that child invites you in, when they say, have you got a minute? Can I talk to you a minute? Never ask for a rain check. Somebody put it this way. Take a moment to listen today to what your children are trying to say. Listen today, whatever you do, or they won't be there to listen to you. Listen to their problems. Listen for their needs. Praise their smallest triumphs. Praise their smallest deeds. Tolerate their chatter. Amplify their laughter. Find out what's the matter. Find out what they're after. But tell them you love them every single night, and though you scold them, be sure you hold them tight. And tell them everything's all right. Tomorrow's looking bright. Take a moment to listen today to what your children are trying to say. Listen today, whatever you do, and they will come back to listen to you. And yes, understanding and respecting our child's private world. And if they ask you to participate in their private world, offer godly advice. But if you can't protect their confidences, you'll never have an invitation to come back inside again. And so whatever they share with you, if it's not to be shared with other people, make sure you protect those confidences. Then number four, a father must keep his promise. Keep his promise. And whenever we as dads make a promise to our children, it's so vitally important that our children know that we will keep that promise. The Bible says, the lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. The lip of truth shall be established forever. Are you characterized as a dad who keeps his word? There'll be occasional times when rescheduling has to occur, and it's okay as long as it's just occasional. But do our children see us break our promises to them because a better opportunity came along, maybe to spend time with somebody else? And they very quickly are able to pick up who is our priority. It's somebody else, and it's not them. And so keep your promises. In fact, somebody said that our checkbooks and our calendars reveal our priorities. Our checkbooks and our calendars reveal our priorities. So, gentlemen, keep your promises. Then number five, a father must give his children the freedom to fail. The freedom to fail. Now, none of us want our kids to fail, but all of us know that our children will fail because when we were children, we failed, and we well remember the numbers of times that we were so disappointed in our failures. But we need to give them an opportunity to fail. It says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Our children need to know that they have the freedom to fail. They're not going to try anything that's difficult. If they don't know, we will allow them to fail. And yes, we will be there for them when they return. In fact, when they return home from an athletic competition or maybe a fine arts competition, what's the first question that you normally ask? Is it who won or how did you do? Because you see, if the first question we ask is who won, then in essence it means if they didn't win, they feel like a failure. Why don't we just ask first, how'd you do? Did you learn anything new today? Did you do your best? And having the freedom to fail enables your children to try new things, not holding back for fear of failure. But when we find ourselves saying negative and sarcastic and hurtful things to them, then obviously they don't feel like they have the freedom to fail. They have to make sure that they're successful at everything and at all times. You know, God wants us to, as the Bible is describing here in Romans chapter 5, He wants us to look at the trials of our life as those that are being sent for our maturation. And so consequently, we need to be reminding our children that whatever they're doing and whatever they're facing failure in, God wants to use those trials to mature them. We're all developing. None of us are perfect. And we see that in Romans 5, verses 3 and 4. Where it talks about tribulation and patience and experience and hope. All of those things are things that we as parents learn from our own experiences, and we need to be willing to give our children the same opportunity to see the hard times from God's viewpoint. In fact, it says in James chapter 1, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers testings or temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." And so consequently, we need to be sharing our failures with our children and the lessons that we learned when we failed, maybe when we were younger, for them to understand that you learn lessons as a dad and you want them to learn lessons as well. See, it's not the fear of failure that holds your child back, but the fear of failing someone, and that's you. So praise them at all times. Praise them. Somebody said, be on their side, not on their back. And then number 6, a father must be the encourager of the family. Encourager of the family. Acts chapter 4 and verse 36 talked about a man by the name of Joseph that got a nickname from everybody that knew him. They nicknamed him Barnabas, son of encouragement. Wow. Encouragement. Is that what your children think of you? Are you an encourager? You know, real encouragement flows out of a relationship, your presence, your smile, maybe notes of encouragement sent throughout all their lives. Even as grandparents, we can send notes of encouragement to our children and notes of encouragement to our grandchildren. And you'll find that these notes will be teaching them how to write notes later to you. What a blessing it is in later years of our lives to get notes back from our children. In fact, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about a book that is entitled The Giving Tree, and it describes all of the things that a father does for his son in just a little story form. And the story is about a tree that is constantly there, and he loved a little boy, and the little boy loved to come and play underneath his branches and eat its apples, and he even began to use his leaves and make little crowns for his head and climb up its trunk and swing from his branches and all these kinds of things that the little boy and the tree did together. And they just loved their time together. The tree loved the little boy, and the little boy loved the tree. But then the boy got a little bit older, and he began to fall in love with a little girl, and he brought that girl to the tree, and they sat under the tree together, and the tree was a little bit lonely because it seemed like he was spending all the time with the little girl. And then as time went along, the little boy said, you know, I need to do some things for the girl, and I don't have any money. And the tree said, I've got apples. You can collect all my apples and sell them. You can do whatever you want. And so that's what he did. Later, the boy came back as a man, and all the apples were gone. But he said, I don't need any apples. I need a boat to make me happy. And so the tree said, well, cut me down and make a boat out of me. And so he did. And after he cut him down, the tree was just a stump. Years later, the old man came back to that location, and the stump said, "I'm so glad to see you. Tell me, what's going on? How can I help you?" And the man said, "I don't need any apples. I don't need a boat. I'm tired. I just need a place to sit." And the tree said, "Oh, my, I'm a stump. You can sit on me." And the story ended by saying, "Come, boy, sit and rest. Sit down and rest." And the boy did. And the tree was happy. And as we read that story, we realized that we as parents are here to give to our children. And on Father's Day of 2005, my middle son Jonathan wrote me this note on the inside of the book when he gave it to me. He said, "Dad, when I read this story a few weeks ago, I cried. It's so true as a dad that we find ourselves giving at each stage of our life. It's not always the same gift, but it's always the same heart. Thank you for sharing with me the passion for ministry, your wisdom in parenting, your patience as a ministry intern, your encouragement and support during the rough years, to stand on your shoulders and see what could be and should be for my life. I'm happy pursuing that dream. Soon we'll change roles, and it will be my turn to give back to you. I love you, Jonathan." Those kind of notes make it all worthwhile. For all the time that you spend investing your heart and your life in the lives of your children. And so make sure that you're not too busy for them, not too busy praising them, because you need to be the encourager of the family. And just a 30-second note can pay 30-year dividends. Notes from Dad will be kept for special times of discouragement later on. And you know, when you make the big issues to them big issues to you, they will see, "Dad really loves me." When your son breaks up with his girlfriend, don't call it puppy love. It's real to the puppy. But be there for your children. You be the encouragement that they need. Well, next time we'll pick up the continuation of the idea of being the encourager of the family. Because, dads, that's not just our wife's responsibility. That's your responsibility. That's our responsibility. And may God help us to be the encourager of our family. We'll talk next time about the power of the tongue. And so many times we mess up because we mess up with our tongue. And so until the next time, I trust that the Lord will bless you in an awesome way. If you'd like to listen to these broadcasts later, you can check our website, www.thewordforlife.org, and download any broadcast that you'd like. We trust they'll be a blessing to you down through the days.